All right, well, good morning again, and thank you for being here with us. It's good to see just so many faces we haven't seen in a while, and seeing some faces that we haven't seen, and so we're just honored and just glad that you would take that time to come hang out with us. Thank you, band, for leading us, for letting us just be able to worship. I love that, and to see you guys worship. So today we're gonna wrap up our series titled "I Quit." And we've been in this series talking about some things that really we have to quit in order to be all that God wants us to be. And we started off the first week talking about that we need to quit making excuses, that we find a lot of reasons why we don't do what God wants us to do. And it's really just things that we make up that we keep using to get in the way. And so this week I posted, what is the one thing this week, you've been making excuses about that you haven't let yourself do? And for me, it was cleaning off my desk. And if you've been in my office, you know that is a big deal, and my wife stays on me all the time about it. I keep telling her, I found research that a messy desk is a sign of genius, and so I keep reminding her of that, but she's not buying it. And by the way, I made more excuses and didn't get it done. So this week, that's one, but we make excuses when it comes to doing what God wants us to do. The next week, we talked about that we need to quit complaining. And man, complaining is a big deal. It's one of the things that I deal and spend so much of my time with is complaints. Everybody complaining about this and complaining about that, when the reality is that we just really need to get down and say, what is it, God, that you're doing? Not what does make me happy, what makes me feel good, what is it that I want to do, but God, what is it that you want to do? And I think the church would get out of God's way and quit complaining about the things that he is doing and join him and just say, you know what, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. Then, man, the church would explode. But it's being held back so much by our complaints. And then last week, we talked about comparing. That we need to quit comparing. Comparing ourselves and the talents we have and where we are to where somebody else may be. Listen, wherever somebody else may be, that's where God may want them to be. But that's different for you. God may want you in a different place. So don't be comparing what you have or don't have. Just look for what God's doing. Look for the blessings that he's given you and quit worrying about everybody else's. And I think, again, we would be so much better off if we could quit comparing. And so this week I want to talk to you about something that I think is going to really help all of us, that we're all going to understand and be able to kind of find some common ground on it. And it's that we need to quit allowing ourselves to be in fear. We need to quit living in this fear that we find ourselves in. And what that last song was perfect for where we're going today. And so just we want to kind of get there. Now, let me give you just a quick thing for next week. We're going to start a brand new series. And one of the ways that we can quit complaining, quit, finding excuses, quit doing all the things that we've talked about, is that when we find out who we're supposed to be in Christ, that a lot of this stuff disappears. And whether you've been a Christian for a short time or a long time, there's going to be some things that you're going to figure out about who you're supposed to be in Christ that's going to help you quit being so distracted with all the other things that the world keeps wanting to send your way. So next week, that's going to start. We'll spend some time in that, and it's going to be a great series. But today, let's talk about quit living in fear. I think all of us, if we're honest, have some fears. Now, one of the things you need to understand is I found research that said that there's really only two fears that we're born with. One of those is the fear of falling, that we're naturally born with a fear of falling. Now, I always say I'm not afraid of falling. I'm just afraid of hitting the ground really hard. That's kind of where that messes me up. But falling is one of those. And then the other is a fear of loud noises. That's kind of interesting. So if I go bam like that, see, you were all scared. You didn't expect that. We're afraid of those things. And so that's a natural fear that you have. And so bathrooms are down the hall for those of you that need them. Anyway, but that's what we're born with. But don't we develop a lot of fears in our lives? We have so many that come from just where we are in life, who our parents are. We develop a lot of their fears. The things that they have fears of and that they're afraid of, that they pass those on to us. And we don't even know why we're afraid of a lot of things, but we are, because that's just what we've always seen lived out in front of us. So there's all kinds of fears. And so a couple of them You know, how many of you would just say that you were afraid of the dark as a child? Just curious. It's okay. I'm not gonna, you know, you won't lose your man card if you raise your hand. So I was afraid of the dark. I remember that, being afraid of the boogeyman and all of that, you know, and what, you know, if the closet door wasn't completely shut, whatever was in there could get out. So before you go to bed, before you turn on the light, you gotta shut the door. Anybody with me? You know how it goes. Peek under the bed, just make sure nothing's there. That happens. You know, some of us are afraid of spiders. Anybody afraid of spiders? Yeah, those little creepy crawlies. I was sitting there the other day, and one went right up my leg, and it was like, woo, I came up out of that chair. You know, never seen a fat boy move that fast. But anyway, so then what about thunderstorms? That's an interesting one that a lot of people are afraid of. Anybody afraid of thunderstorms? Yeah, especially like at night, you know, kids come busting in the bed and jump in with you because they're just afraid. We have a lot of different kinds of fears. So anybody walk into the bathroom, especially if a place that, you know, somebody guest house or somebody's house you don't know, and you kind of walk in and the first thing you do is kind of pull the shower curtain back. Anybody, you know, seriously, you know, because, man, you just never know what's back there. I've seen psycho, you know, things. So, you know, anyway, so let me share a couple of mine, personally. I told you I would share some things that not many people know. One of the things I was afraid of as a child, I had this very irrational fear of Bigfoot. All right, so I grew up a country boy, lived out in the country, lived, you know, had a bunch of woods. I played in the woods all the time, and I just knew that I was going to run into Bigfoot. Just no joke. I would stand still behind trees, and I would, like, be real quiet, and I would listen to see if I could hear Bigfoot walking. And so I had this escape plan ready for when I did hear him. I knew exactly which direction my house was, and I was sure he could not beat me to that house, right? But then I also had some trees picked out that I would climb. Now, like, that was going to do me a lot of good, but it's like running from a bear. Like, you can't climb the tree behind you. You know, if you climb up there, it's going to get you. But that was one of my fears. I was always afraid of Bigfoot. Like, he was going to get me, you know. So, you know, what's one of my favorite shows now? Finding Bigfoot. Man, I want to know where that Joker is, you know. So, So that's one of mine. So then that was an irrational fear. Then I had this very rational fear that I still live with today, that there just can't be a hand or a foot hanging off the edge of the bed. Anybody with me? If you got a hand or a foot off the edge of the bed, somebody or something can grab that Joker and pull you off the bed. I mean, I'm just saying, it's just, you know, whatever I got, it's got to be pulled in and tucked, you know. It can't be over the edge of the bed where something can get me. I don't know, you know what, it's just one of those things. So anyway, so now if you don't know me, I work a little part-time at Stanley Funeral Home. And so for a guy who has fears of things, that's kind of a weird place to work, I know, but I don't worry about that. I know where those people are, and I get that's just a shell and all that. So I'm not afraid of dead bodies, okay? But the other night I'm working, and we're moving some things around. It was an easel there that had a chain hanging on it. So I was moving an easel by, and I went by the room where they do the prep work, okay? And as I'm going by, I hear this noise. It's like, and I'm like, hold on a minute, okay? I know this ain't supposed to be like this, but something's trying to get out of that room. And so I stopped for a second, and it stopped. And I started walking again, and it started again. And I'm like, what in the world is that? And so by this time, I'm starting to develop a brand new fear, all right, that I'm getting ready to find a whole new place to work. And then I realized it was the chain dangling on the piece of wood that I had that was scratching on it. All right, so listen, people, it's a shell. When they're gone, they're gone, okay? So just, you know, no matter how much you like to watch Walking Dead, it just doesn't happen. But anyway, so those are some things that we fear, and you could tell all of yours, I'm sure. You've got things that you fear, but what we really end up fearing so much is not those crazy things. We fear a lot of things about our life. What's going to happen next? That you're afraid of losing to somebody that you love. There's a lot of different ones. So let me talk to you about the four biggest fears that I think that we have, most common fears. The one is the fear of loss. And if these are yours, maybe you need to check this on your outline, just so you kind of be honest with yourself about these things, but the fear of loss, losing somebody or something that's very important to you. We all struggle with that, I think. We fear of losing our parents when we're kids. When we're parents, we fear losing our kids. We fear losing our spouses and people that we love. Man, it's a big deal. Sometimes I work with and try to help people who are just struggling with the fear of losing that person that they love. And like, what if? What, you know, what's going to happen? What would they, you know? We got to go through that. And it's a very common fear that we have. Another one that we have is the fear of failure. The fear of failure. When we are worried about not succeeding, not being a success. If I were to ask any of you to come up here, most of you would be afraid of that. And why? Why would you be afraid to come up here and speak in front of all of these people? It's because you're afraid of failing. You're afraid of messing up and not doing something and people thinking less of you. That rejection that comes with not being able to come through. It's a real and tangible thing. We deal with the fear of loss, losing someone or losing control. We deal with losing with this fear of failure, of just not being able to live up to it. Maybe letting your parents down, letting your spouse down, letting you know a whole church full of people down. Sometimes it's a real deal, y'all. There's this fear that of failure that we have. The fear of rejection is the third one. That people won't like us. That if you ask them out, they'll say no. If you ask, you know, somebody to do something for you, that they'll say no. Or if you're not accepted by a particular school, or you're not hired at a certain place. And then there's this fear that I think is the one that really stands out on this. It's the fear of the unknown. We struggle greatly with the fear of the unknown. What's next? What may happen? What if I lose my job? What if I lose my spouse? What if I lose my child? What if? We wonder what's going to happen next, and we get so paralyzed by the fear of what we don't know. You know, and it keeps us from making decisions that we should make. It keeps us from following through with God's will for our lives because we're afraid of what, you know, what may happen next. Well, what if I don't get to do what I want to do? Well, what if I don't get to do that? What's going to happen? Well, we don't know what the outcome of that is, and so we're afraid of that. A lot of times people would say, you know, life is going great right now, and so I'm really afraid, though, that something bad is going to happen. You ever been around somebody who was so afraid of what could happen when things are like perfect for them now, but they're so afraid that down the road there's something bad coming and they just can't move forward because of it? I mean, most of the time we don't say, well, what if, you know, the only time we ever say what if for something positive is what if I win the lottery, right? Because that way we always think that would be great. But the thing of it is what if this happens or that happens, and this and that are always negative things that never seem to be a good thing for us. We don't fear good stuff happening. We fear bad stuff happening, don't we? Why is that? Why do we look for the negative in the unknown? So just curious. So I got you kind of thinking about, do I struggle with the fear of loss? Do I struggle with the fear of failure and rejection and the unknown? And I got you thinking, so just in all curiosity, don't raise your hand, but just think about this. How many of you would check off all four of those? But those are things, those are realities in your life that you're dealing with. Sometimes I think if we're really honest about it, I think we probably all would. Because we just find ourselves there, but here's the truth, that we become so paralyzed by fear, but the paralyzing doesn't come from something good, it comes from something bad, because here's the truth of what the scripture teaches us in 2 Timothy 1:7. We probably heard it all before if we've been around church, but for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's what comes from Him. Would you just do me a favor? Let's just read that together, because I think some of you need to hear yourself say it. Let's, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Think about that. That's what we need to have. We need to understand that what we have been given is not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Our minds are important. And, you know, sometimes we say, oh, we shouldn't think, right? You know, and the whole power of positive thinking. Listen, I don't believe that's the foundation of it, but I can tell you, if you don't think something good, you're going to find something bad. It's just going to happen. Because that's what, you know, we talked about last week. You'll find what you're looking for. The negativity is there. It's easy to find. And if you keep looking for it, you're going to find it. And so we need to be able to understand that God's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind to be able to think positively and to know that He is in control, to trust Him. Not ourselves, and not even our sound mind, but to be able to focus on Him and believe and fear Him. So fear is not from God. So if you're taking notes, what is fear? Let you write this down on your program. Fear is placing faith in the what ifs. It's placing fear in all of, or faith in all of those what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if, you know, somebody leaves me? What if I lose my job? What if my house, you know, burns down? What if, you know, my child gets sick? What if, what if, what if? When we begin to put faith in that, we become afraid, because we've trusted that there is going to be something that's going to come along that's not going to be what we want. We try to find those negative things. Moses was pretty guilty of this a lot in the Old Testament. We talked about him a couple weeks ago when God called him to deliver the people of Israel. And he said in Exodus 4:1, he said, well, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? I mean, he hadn't even got there yet. And he's already saying, well, what if they don't believe me? Man, if God speaks to me, if a voice is coming out of a burning bush and he tells me who he is and he's able to do all that, I would love to think that I'm not going to say, what if? I'm sure I would, because that's what we would all do, I believe. We'd find ourselves focused on that. But Moses is there and he says, what if they don't believe me? God's going to be with him. Yet he's playing a game with this incredible opportunity he's been given. And we do that all the time. What if the economy drops? What if? Right now in this kind of crazy election time and all of this stuff, man, there is so many what ifs out there. We can't even keep straight what's true and what's not, because we've been asking so many what ifs, and the power has been given to the what if rather than to the what is and what could be if we would just look at it completely different. We've given so much power to the what if. And when we place our faith in that, that's where fear comes from. So many times we're afraid of the what ifs that are going to come over the next 4 years. I believe that our country is in fear, and out of fear is coming some pretty terrible things. When we really need to come to faith rather than fear. So we need to understand this, these what ifs, because they're pretty powerful in it when we trust them. So what do you? Why do they matter? Why do the what ifs matter? Number one, what you fear reveals what you value the most. What you fear, it really shows where you have put the most value in your life. If you're the most afraid of your spouse leaving you, well, your spouse is pretty important to you. If you have this great fear of your child, you know, getting sick or whatever, then that's an indication that's very important to you. It reveals what you value the most. If you're constantly worried about what if your marriage fails, then that's a good thing. You've put value to that. And that's a good thing. But it certainly it certainly reveals where you have put the value in your life. The second thing is this: what you fear reveals where you trust God the least. So if you're fearing that your marriage may fail, it's where you've also put the least amount of trust. You've given more power to the fear of what if in your marriage than you have to the truth that God has put you two together and that He has a plan for your relationship to grow it and to make it strong, to use it, to minister to other people in your church and in your community. So where you've put your fear, it's showing that you're just not trusting God in it. And we need to be able to look at this and know that these what-ifs matter, because what we're asking the question what-if about is where certainly what we value, but it's certainly where we put God and given Him the most time and energy and ability to be in charge in our lives. So we've got to be able to understand these. So here's the question that comes out of the what-ifs. Where is it that you're not trusting God? I want to ask you this question. I'm not trusting God with what? What is it for you? You know what it is. It's been there the whole time I've been talking. What is it that you're not trusting God with? I want you to take some steps, and I want you to write that down on your card. You don't have to let anybody see it, but I want you to be real about it, because there's somewhere you're asking a what if where you've got value, but you don't have faith. And it's time to be honest about it, to allow God to be able to begin to move in it. Where is it that you're not trusting God? Be really honest about it. I'm not trusting Him with my children, my future, my health. I'm not trusting Him with somebody that I love. I'm not trusting Him with my parents, my aging parents who are going through that. Well, whatever it may be for you, be honest on your sheet and write down that. For me, I had to be really honest about just trusting God with our future. You know, I ask a lot of what-if questions about the church. You know, leading a church and trying to make sure that I follow God's will so that we end up exactly where He wants us to be, man, it's not something I take lightly. I put a lot of value on it. Henceforth, when I don't trust Him a lot in it, I develop a lot of fear about it. Like, what is it that you know, that's there? What if this person decides not to come back? What if that person doesn't come? What if nobody else comes? What if everybody leaves? Those of you that don't attend our church, let me just be honest with you. Your pastor's probably asking the same questions. He just might not share it with you. You need to pray for him, because it's a reality. We all deal with it because, man, it's we value this. This is what we've been called to do. But sometimes it's really easy to begin to ask those what ifs because of the pressure and all the complaints and the comparisons and all of the things that kind of come in on us. And then we begin to say, you know what? What if I don't do that right? Is that going to make that one mad? If I don't do this right, is it going to make that one mad? And then you got a whole mess of stuff going on. Unfortunately, that the church ends up being like that sometimes. But what if we're able to just say, what if God does something really cool? What if God brings people to our church that haven't been here before? What if He brings people? What if people get saved? What if people need to be baptized? What if a lot of times we forget to ask those really positive what if questions of our church. What if you as an individual began to read your Bible on a regular basis? What would God say to you? What if, you know, I really got serious and I began to come to a life group on a regular basis? What if, you know what, I came and I volunteered wherever they needed me and just said, you know what, God, I'll do whatever you want. We don't usually ask those questions, but let me just tell you that if we want to grow and be where God wants us to be, we're going to have to learn to do that, because that's part of all of us and where we need to be in our relationship with Him. We need to begin to develop this security in being able to trust Him. It's got to come out of that. And so this last part that I want to spend time on is facing the what-ifs of fear. How do we get beyond this? There's somewhere we're not trusting Him. So how do we deal with it? What do we do next? The first thing is this: that we acknowledge your fear and choose to trust God. We acknowledge that fear And then we just begin to trust him in it. Begin to let him be in charge. Let him do what needs to be done. Acknowledge it honestly and then just choose to trust him. You know, some of us just begin to kind of brush fear off and kind of pretend like it's not there. And we just, there's some things there and we're just not sure, but we like to brush it off and just pretend like it's not going to affect us, but then sooner or later it comes back. And usually when we brush it off and let it go, Satan loves to bring it back with a vengeance on us and really get us into this thing with our heads where our sound mind now is not focused on what God wants to do, but it's focused on what is he not doing and what he can't do. And all of these things, we begin to see it in a whole different perspective. Whatever your fear is and whatever you can do within your own power that's effective to minimize that risk, you try to do that, but yet it comes back beyond where it was before. And so let's look to the scriptures to be able to find a place to be able to deal with this and to be able to trust him. David in the Old Testament had been anointed the king, the future king over Israel, and the present king Saul was there, and David is following him, but Saul has been threatened by him. We looked at that the other day, that there was this threat. He had now begun to watch and resent David because David was getting a little bit more press and a little bit more praise than he was. And so now he's got this problem with him. And so King Saul begins to chase him and go after him to kill him, to take him out, and to be able to just not have to deal with this thing anymore. And so every bit of his strength now is focused in on David and knocking him out of the whole picture. But in Psalm 56, this is where David is. He says, "My slanderers pursue me all day long. Many are attacking me in their pride. When I am afraid, I will trust you." No matter what's going on, no matter what's coming after me, no matter how bad it seems to be, I'm going to trust you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? You know, that's a pretty powerful statement. You know, that would be like a hasta la vista, baby, you know, kind of thing, where you could, like, you know, walk out and know that you drop the mic on it because, man, that's powerful. I'll not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? You know, just a whole kind of Arnold phrase. I can see him laying it out there in the middle, you know, at the end of a movie or something, because he just knows, you know, there's just this power that is looking out, and David has got this thing. He knows that, listen, hey, Saul may come kill me, so what? At the end of the day, I got a relationship with God that's just that I'm good. And so God's going to take care of me. So when was the last time you thought about that fear, that whatever it is, that what if my marriage, what if my child, what if my spouse, what if my job, what if you took that what if and you just said, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you in that. And I'm just going to believe that you've got a plan bigger for me than anything else that can harm me. Well, that's what David said. Listen, they're there. They're pursuing me all day long. You ever felt like that, where you just can't get away from it? It's just chasing you all day long and for whatever reason. But when I'm afraid, God, I'm going to trust you. That you could just say, you know what? I got a fear, but God, I'm going to trust you in it. What can a man or woman do to me that's going to hurt me that bad? We forget that a lot. But God's in charge. And we can trust him to know that he has a plan. David's being extremely honest in this. And so we put our faith in him, like David showed us how to do. So I want to challenge you. Be honest about your fear. Be honest about where it is, what it is, and then begin to see how can you let God be in charge. How can you let his plan override the negative plan that's being fed to you about whatever it is. Don't worry about the what if. Change the what if to what is. And what is? God is. God is in control, and we can trust that. The second thing that I want to encourage you to do is to seek God until He takes away the fears. You got to trust Him, but then I believe just trusting Him is not where He wants you to be. I mean, I think that's pretty powerful, and we're encouraged all the time to just trust Him. But the second thing is then what do we do with that? Because if we just trust Him and we sit where we are, then we never go on to what He has next for us. We never get to fully experience all that He wants to do. Listen, a lot of times we say, what if, when it comes to sharing our faith? Well, what if they say no? What if they call me a crazy church person? What if they call me a holy roller? What if they call me a Bible thumper? What if, you know what, they just, what if they say no? But the truth of that is that if we've been called to do that, then one, we've got to acknowledge that fear. God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of sharing my faith. I'm just afraid that they'll not accept me. They'll not accept what I'm saying, but they'll not accept you. I'm afraid that's where it is. And so we just don't do anything. But we've got to be able to say, you know what, God, I'm afraid of doing it, but I'm going to trust you in it because your word has made it very clear that I'm to go and tell people about you. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to trust you in it. And then I'm going to keep seeking you until you show me the best place and the best time and the way that you want me to share it. When we begin to seek Him in our fear and be able to trust Him in that, then He opens those doors and allows those things to happen the way that He's planned. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Now, let me give you a little lesson. Do you know what all means in the Greek? It means all. It means all. That means everything, right? Is there anything that's excluded from all? Is there one exclusion from the word all? Can anybody? Okay, so if the word says that He can deliver us from all of our fears, then there's no exclusions. We can't write something in there. He says, I've sought Him, and He answered me, and He delivered me from all of them. If He can do that for David, listen, He can do that for you and me. He can take us from that place of fear to a place of power and of sound mind and all of the places that He says that He's given us. And so therefore, we can be delivered from that. Seek Him through prayer. Seek Him in your life group. Seek Him in your relationships with other believers. Seek Him out where He's working and then allow Him to use you in those ways. I love the what John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, I love this phrase that he quotes here. He says this. He says, I have never known more than 15 minutes of anxiety or fear. Some of you, it ain't been 15 minutes before you feared something, that you had anxiety over it. He says, listen, I haven't experienced it more than 15 minutes. Whenever I feel fearful emotions overtaking me, I just close my eyes and thank God that He is still on the throne, reigning over everything, and I take comfort in His control over all the affairs of my life. Can we just bring it down very practical? When was the last time you just surrendered to God? That's a very churchy sounding term where we talk about surrender. But what that means is we just let Him be in charge of everything that we got going on. And what we find out is some of the things we got going on that while He's in charge of them, they're gone because they're holding us back. And sometimes we fear letting those things go in our lives. But He says, listen, Wesley laid it out perfect, that if we just remember that God's on the throne, that He's in charge, that He's the one who set the whole thing in motion, that created each one of us for a plan and a purpose, and He set that in motion. He authored that for every single one of us. When we let ourselves be given over to Him and let Him guide us and show us what it is He has for us, then we begin to really see that we don't have to fear, that in fact we can flourish in the relationship that we have with God. Some of us are so afraid that something's going to change that we're paralyzed by that fear. What if things aren't the same as they've always been? It's one of those phrases that keeps the church in this constant state of seeming decline, because it's been looking at, well, what if we do it different? Well, you know what? What if we do it different, but we do it for the same purpose? You see, the purpose is the important piece, that we keep pointing people towards Christ. What if we just allow ourselves to overcome the fear, put God on the throne where He belongs, and let Him be in charge and show us where He wants us to be? Man, sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Gosh, what a... I could say amen, let's just go home on that one. But that's a pretty tough thing to do. If it was so easy, we'd all do it. And man, what a different world we'd live in. So it comes down to being able to seek God and allow Him then to deliver us from our fears, allowing Him to be the one who's in charge. Beth Moore, the great teacher, she... One of the most popular of our age here writes some great stuff, and her study on David is one of my favorite. But she had this issue in her life, and I'll try to tell it without messing up too much. But she had this thing in her life. She was afraid of her husband dying. She feared that he would die, and this fear was just overcoming her, and it was paralyzing her, keeping her from being all that, you know, being able to teach the way she had been teaching, being able to keep up with the schedule she'd been keeping. It was just paralyzing her. And she finally came to this place where she began to seek God in this whole thing. And she remembers hearing almost audibly Him say, "But so what if your husband dies?" And she remembered answering back to Him, "Well, I would be devastated, and I would cry for a month. I'd sit in my pajamas all day long and just cry. I'd be so out of shape." And so He said, well, what if you do that?" And she said, well, then I would probably cry for another month. And I'd still sit around in my pajamas, and I wouldn't be able to do any of the teaching. I wouldn't be able to lead anything. And then, you know, I would just be devastated still." And He said, well, what if that happened? Well, then I would still be devastated, and I would cry, and I would da 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 da. And she goes through, and finally He says, well, what if that happened? And then she began to think, well, I guess I would begin to come back to You and ask You to help. Well, what if You did that? She said, well, I guess if I did that, I would begin to see that You have a purpose for that happening, and that there's people that need Me to minister to them through that. And He said, well, what if You did that? Well, other people would be delivered from their fear, and they wouldn't have to struggle as long as I had to struggle. They would know that somebody else is there. And she said, okay, I get it. The what if that she had been fearing so much actually came to a place where she began to see, well, if that did happen, as devastating as it would be, that there would be a purpose for it, and there would be something that God would use it for. So today, listen, there's all kinds of fears in our lives, things that we are so afraid is going to happen. But the truth is if we're following God and seeking Him out, no matter how bad it may be, those things could still happen. But no matter, the point is that He'll use those things to grow us and to grow the people around us through being able to share that with them. What is it that you're fearing the most? What is it that you've put value in but you're trusting God the least in? Today's the day to acknowledge it and be able to let go of it and begin to trust Him in it and seek Him in it and see what it is that He wants to do in your life through your fear. Time to quit living in fear. It's time to quit being afraid that something's not going to go the way that you want it to go. Because even if it doesn't go that way, listen, He's not coming off the throne, and He's still going to use you if you'll trust Him and seek Him and let Him do that. God, we thank You today that we can come to a place of knowing that You're in charge. God, so often I think about the gospel. And I think about in those hours of of Christ's betrayal and his punishment and the brutality of all of that. And I think about all of those that people may have asked, what if they come after him? What if? And the reality is there that now he's been betrayed and he's been beaten and brutalized and now he's been taken to the cross and hung there and died. And those moments of what if had become reality, that now he had truly been killed. But the picture that the people saw was of a physical man. But God, the truth is that your son hung there, giving his life on a cross to pay the price for my sin and for the sins of the world. And the what if of all of those things had become a reality, and that your son had given his life for the sins of all mankind. And now as he hung there, God, he was taken down and put into a tomb and then on the third day raised again. God, that the truth of this moment was what if the king comes? Well, the king came and he sacrificed all so that all could be forgiven. God, the reality is that your son gave his life so that we could all be forgiven. And today we stand at a place where we've had so much fear. Some of us have an extreme fear, though we've accepted him, we still are afraid of things. And God, we need to understand that today, because of our relationship with you, we can know that we're set free and we don't have to fear, because you've not brought that to us, God. You've not wanted us to be afraid, but you've wanted us to be completely given over to you. So for those in this place that have acknowledged that before, God, I pray that now they would be reminded of it and recommit themselves to the love that you've shown them, that they can know that you're in charge, and that, God, their fears don't have to control them, but now their faith in you can be what guides them, that they can live a life of faith and no longer a life of fear. For those in the room who've never accepted your son Jesus, now is the time that they can accept and be forgiven and know that all of that fear can be put to rest because of the faith they can develop in their relationship with you, knowing that you're in charge, God. God, whatever it is that you need to do in our lives today, whether it's to accept you for the first time, to recommit ourselves to you, God, to just be thankful for what you've done, to come and acknowledge our fears, God, whatever we need to do today, may we do it. And may we understand the freedom that we have in this place to just acknowledge you and to trust you and to follow you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.